brings us to the last case of the morning. Still morning. And Mr. Gonzalez is not a defendant. So, refreshing, I guess. The United States versus Longoria, Guzman, and Duran. Now, what's the order here? Mr. McCullough?
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Edwin McCullough, and I was appointed to represent Alfredo Longoria pursuant to the Criminal Justice Act. And this case is not an immigration case, but it's probably deja vu.
Speak a little louder, please. Speak into the microphone a little louder.
Thank you. This is not immigration case, but it's probably deja vu in another regard in the post-Booker Palladino world. So I will try not to repeat what has been argued here before and be brief. But this is a serious sentence for Mr. Longoria, who at the time was 31 years old and was sentenced to a life sentence. Under the old regime before Booker, when there were mandatory sentencing guidelines. After Booker, of course, the sentencing guidelines are advisory, they have been implemented by this court in Palladino, and we had asked for a limited remand under that case. I think the record is clear here that the Judge Shader, in sentencing, had problems with what he was facing at the time, which was the mandatory sentencing guidelines. In fact, he said that he was forced to apply a life sentence when he added the 8 points that were found in the sentencing hearing pursuant to the pre-sentence report. That's on page 33 of the sentencing hearing. And earlier, he had said that this is a terribly long sentence on a very young man. The United States, in its brief, this final brief on page 5, says that the court was somewhat ambiguous. I don't think it was ambiguous at all. Quotes from the pages 26 and 27 of the hearing. I submit that considering the judge's other comments and the circumstances of the sentencing, that the judge had misgivings about this sentence, although he couldn't do anything at the time. Booker gives the sentencing court discretion to use the guidelines as advisory, not mandatory. I believe that the record here shows that the court would have sentenced Mr. Longoria using its discretion and would have given him a different sentence than a life sentence. Therefore, I would ask for a limited remand. Unless Your Honors have any more questions on this issue, I'll turn to the jury selection issue. Are there any questions? Or?
No. Go ahead.
The second point, which I argued in the opening brief and before the Blakely case and the Booker case, concerns the selection of jurors. And we submit that the record does not show that each juror who sat on the jury and decided Mr. Longoria's guilt was asked directly about the presumption of innocence and the burden of proof.
But where do you find that requirement? Isn't that inconsistent with what this court at least said in Sababu? General inquiries are enough, and certainly all these people were in the courtroom. Where's the requirement of individual interrogation to the degree you're arguing for?
I don't think I can find it in a specific case, and I think I said so in the brief. I believe it's sort of like in the earlier argument that Your Honors heard in the immigration case, that you have to raise the arguments that you see in a case, and I believe under the Fifth Amendment that the presumption of innocence is so important that there should be some inquiry that assures that the jurors know and accept the presumption of innocence.
But, you know, I mean, you've seen us say many, many times that we presume the jurors do follow the instructions that are given to them by the court, and Judge Shader repeatedly admonished them that the presumption of innocence was there and that they were to follow it. You would be asking us, in a sense, to assume that they ignored all of that or that somehow there was something unclear about it, and it doesn't strike me as particularly unclear.
Well, he certainly admonished them at the end of the trial, and he did as a group at the beginning of the trial, and I believe that the first 12 that sat in the jurors' box and were subject to the initial questioning were asked, but the rest of the people were only asked if they had any problems with the questions that were given to the first set. So I believe that the Fifth Amendment requires more than just a generalized question. And maybe not the law, but if you argue something, you can change the law.
Yes, you can.
That's why I argued it. And I believe that the cases, and there are very few that you can find around the country, support my point. They're not binding on this court, of course, but anyhow, that's why I raised that argument, and I think that a very simple correction would have been to ask after Mr. Loeb, who was a defense attorney, the jurors that question. It would have been simple. So I don't have anything more to say on that at this time, unless there are any other questions.
You can save the balance for rebuttal, whatever you, however you divided it.
Thank you.
Mr. Eagle?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Like Mr. McCullough, I will not rehash the arguments that have been made post-Booker or even the arguments that Mr. McCullough just made about Booker. I merely point out that I think the record is clear that Judge Shader would not have sentenced Mr. Duran to the 360 months had he had the discretion. I point specifically to the sentencing record on page 9, where he has a brief discussion of the fact that he thinks PCP, it appears, is overweighted as opposed to heroin and cocaine. It indicates that he doesn't make the guidelines, but he's forced to live with them. And even mentions how he has talked to another judge who's on the sentencing commissions about trying to change them. And again, when he's actually imposing the sentence, which is at page 13, in this short appendix at page 39, he mentions that the 360-month is very severe. And this is where the transcript is a little off, but he does say, whatever purposes may be served by imprisonment, and then it says, are that amply served by a sentence that even approaches that? I think he's clearly stating that a lesser sentence would have been appropriate in this case, and therefore we're going to ask that this be remanded for such a sentence. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Thanks. Mr. Poirier.
Your Honors, good afternoon. In terms of the sentencing issues, I think they've been well litigated, and we concur that Palladino governs this case and that there should be a remand, a limited remand to Judge Shader on both Mr. Longoria and Mr. Duran's sentences.
But just to be clear, though, Mr. Porter, I understood that at least Mr. Duran is asserting that he's entitled to a full remand because the record shows that the judge thought that the guideline sentence was too high.
I don't read the record to be that clear. I just don't. I think that Judge Shader, bless his heart, comments a lot on a lot of things, but there are certainly instances where district judges I think have pretty clearly said, my hands are absolutely handcuffed, and I don't think that Judge Shader said essentially that in this case, and therefore I believe that a limited remand is necessary here, and not a full remand. And when we think of that defendant, of Mr. Duran, who indeed was a young man and still is a young man, amassed an extraordinary criminal history right out of jail, started selling this drug again, amassed a network of associates essentially who they were working for him. And so there is a lot to say about Mr. Duran, but in terms of the record before your honors, it's the government's position that it's a Palladino remand and nothing more. Judge, your honors, in terms of the substantive argument, which seems like it was a very long time ago that we briefed the issue, there isn't a requirement of individual inquiry. There just isn't. The Seventh Circuit case that your honor referenced, in that case, there was no inquiry at the voir dire. In this case, there were two different moments when Judge Shader talked about the issue and questioned the entire panel, because the entire panel was there, and then there were 12 in the box. And then when Mr. Loeb raised the objection, Judge Shader asked the question again of the jurors, or of the prospective jurors, and then at two different times after the panel was sworn and we had a jury, the issue of presumption of innocence, they were instructed on the issue. That's more than enough under this court's rulings, and indeed more than enough to be constitutionally appropriate in the government's view. So in terms of Mr. Longoria, on the merits, we would ask that it be affirmed and that there be a limited remand for resentencing. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Either of you have anything anymore? Okay, fine. Well, this case will be taken under advisement. I understand both of you were court-appointed. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Appreciate your taking the assignment and for the work you did for your clients. That completes the argument for today. The court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow morning.